You're lucky you didn't get lynched in that moment.
I know.
Yeah. There's no person them. More yeah. loved than Johnny Carson.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. And we hit him in the face with the bowling ball.
Right.
It's time for the Profitability Show. Inspiring conversations with successful business leaders, artists, and entrepreneurs that will get your blood pumping and your creative juices flowing. We'll focus on the latest and the greatest tools, techniques, strategies, and advice you can apply right now to achieve more success and improve your bottom line, no matter what business you're in. The Profitability Show, the business podcast that brings you less jargon and more margin. With your host, digital product strategist and innovator, Nick Knight.
Hello and welcome back to the Profitability Show. It's always great to know there's someone out there listening, and that someone is you, and I thank you for that. This is going to be a great show. Now, most performers try to avoid throwing up when they're on stage, but that's not the case with today's very special guests, world-renowned jugglers John Wee and Owen Morse of The Passing Zone. I am so thrilled to have John and Owen on the show. Not only are they award-winning jugglers, Hall of Fame speakers, and Guinness World Record holders, they are also two of the funniest comedians I know. They've been business partners for over 20 years and have opened for headliners such as George Carlin, Bob Newhart, Bob Hope, and Penn & Teller, and they've appeared numerous times on television, including Comic Strip Live, Evening at the Improv, and were twice guests on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Today, they're going to teach us a few things about teamwork, how to keep your eye on the ball, pun intended, and they'll be sharing a stellar profitability we can all use immediately. So, live from their clubhouse, get it? Here we go with John and Owen, The Passing Zone.
All right, so we're here with The Passing Zone. It's a great opportunity to get to talk to you guys in your really cool loft-like warehouse.
You like our clubhouse?
I didn't know jugglers had warehouses, so that's fantastic.
Yeah. Some don't.
Most don't.
Well, it's fantastic. And you know, if you get a chance, if you're listening to this episode, you get a chance to go to YouTube and check out the video behind-the-scenes footage. You guys can take a look at this. You won't believe it. It's really amazing. I was telling my six-year-old son Jackson this morning that I was going to be interviewing you guys for the show. And I was telling him that, you know, I was really excited about it because, generally speaking, somebody with a passion like juggling, they do that, and that's sort of a hobby, I would say.
Yeah, sure.
Not necessarily a business. And I was saying, what's exciting about these guys managed to take their passion, which was juggling, and they got really good at it, and then they went out and really made good money and made this their full-time business for their whole life. And I was telling him about that to kind of get him to understand that this was so interesting about this. And he said, well, where do they work? The circus? And it's a true story. So I thought, well, that's probably what people think. So
that is,
correct us. What,
juggling has a strange reputation or expectation. People think of circuses or street performing, you know, barefoot and tie-dye. And,
sure, the preconceived notion of what a juggler is not flattering.
No, we've been battling that our entire career.
It probably doesn't help the tutu and the tights, but, just saying you guys.
Sure, we're feeding into it a little bit. It's our own fault.
So I'm going to quick introduction for you guys. I'm speaking with John Wee and Owen Morse, and so that they can tell one from the other. John, tell us a little bit about you, how you got started in juggling.
I'm from Minnesota originally, and I was in junior high, age 13, learned how to juggle three balls from somebody who was teaching a group how to juggle. I thought it looked fun, and just immediately was hooked, spent all my spare time practicing and trying to get better. I'm not sure to this day really why, but it's something connected with me, and I was addicted.
That's great. And Owen, what about you? When did you start?
Yeah, similar story. I was about 13 years old, grew up in Orange County, California.
Okay.
And something about juggling just appealed to me. It was very much athletic activity, required a lot of practice, hand-eye coordination. And it was just endless possibilities of, add another ball or try some other trick.
Were you guys introduced to this by like a family member or how did you discover it?
Yeah, just I was at a summer camp thing where somebody was teaching a group just three ball juggling, and she wasn't particularly good at it, but it was good enough to teach people to do it. And within a short period of time, I was learning all kinds of tricks.
It was one of those things where you you see it and you say it's impossible. And then when you first do it, it's just like, this is the greatest thing in the world. I now have this skill that nobody else can do.
Such a great feeling. Yeah. And as soon as you get four or five throws, then you think, okay, I need to get 10 throws. And now 20 and 100. And you know, how long can I keep going?
Well, tell us, how did the passing zone come together? So you guys have been, well, first of all, how long have you guys been together? You guys have been...
It's been 28 years now.
28 years. Now, I remember seeing you guys. We've been friends for a long time. I remember seeing you guys way, way back. I'm not sure if I remember you seeing you guys at Disneyland or if I've just seen photos of that. So that's kind of a blurry memory. Sure. I do remember seeing you guys at the Sawdust Festival performing way back when we were all kids. So, so, but I don't know how you guys got started. So tell us that story.
That was the Sawdust Festival was our very first show.
Are you serious?
Yeah, sure. We did that in 1988, July of 88.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah.
But we had met at a juggling convention a couple of years before that in 86 in San Jose. And we got to be friends there. We were both really into club passing at the time, and we're both pretty good at it. So a mutual friend said, hey, you know, you should meet Owen Morse. He's from California. He can pass nine clubs. You guys would get along. And so we met and started throwing things back and forth. And
yeah, we communicated through the years, 87. Then we teamed up. We thought, hey, right before the juggling convention in 88, let's throw a show together and compete in the team's competition.
And that was a big turning point for you guys, as I recall, because you guys went in there basically as unknowns. And then kind of crushed it. What'd you get, like?
We got second place. But we were like 1 point behind the winners. And after 2 weeks.
Two weeks of practicing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And so, and then... From what I remember, you guys hit the ground running. Like after that, it's just like you turned the light switch on and things started to happen.
It did happen fast. Yeah. In fact, we were just talking about that the other day, that we got on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Unbelievable.
And that was in 90 and 91. And so here we'd only been doing it 2 years. And I look back and I think we had no idea what we were doing. You know, It was a lot of luck.
Just barely qualified to be on The Tonight Show.
How many times were you guys on The Tonight Show?
Twice. With Johnny.
Yeah, and I remember, I don't remember if it was the first or the second one, but with the bowling ball gag was just, and he was so great and it was so wonderful.
Yeah. When he we threw the fake bowling ball and it hits Johnny right in the face.
And the audience
they just gasped.
You're lucky you didn't get lynched in that moment.
I know. Yeah.
There's no person more loved than Johnny Carson.
Right.
Yeah. And we hit him in the face with the bowling ball.
Right. But he was in on it, played it perfectly.
Now, how did that change your career? Like you're on The Tonight Show. You guys have been together for only a couple of years. So like anybody who's in business knows, you know, after a couple of years, you're still kind of figuring it out, right?
Yeah.
So you guys just went... Really, at the time, Johnny Carson, unlike Jay Leno or anybody who's followed him, Johnny Carson was the pinnacle of exposure.
Yeah,
it was pre-social media, pre-internet stuff. I mean, it was like that was the place to be seen.
Right.
What did that do for you guys?
I would say in general, just in the comedy and variety entertainment world, it just totally put us on the map right there. I mean, instantly you can send out your video and you're on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. So then, you know, people start... buying you based on that reputation, based on the fact that you've done that.
Did the phone start ringing? Like, was it, did agents start calling, like, the next day?
It wasn't really one of those immediate things where, you know, the next day we had our own sitcom. Or you know, it is funny that, I mean, our business has sort of always experienced a gradual growth with certain things that kickstart different areas and really have helped. And that was obviously one of them. But we were still so inexperienced that you know, we weren't suddenly performing for the president or doing huge things. But everything that we were doing, we suddenly were in more demand and we suddenly could raise our price. And we could now send our video out to agents, and agents said, oh my gosh, I can book this.
You get the callback instead of, you just went to the top of the pile.
Yeah, and more people saying, oh, I saw you guys on that
show.
And just that alone is huge.
That's great. Well, okay, we're going to talk more about this and some other stuff relating to the business side of what you guys do, because one of the things about this show is we like to talk to people who have unusual careers sometimes. Where you go, look, business is hard, no matter what your business is. You know, people with startups, people that work in a cubicle, whatever that is, your business is hard. If you add into the mix, I'm going to do something that people go, I have no idea how you make a living doing that. When you have succeeded and accomplished that goal, it's something to be proud of. So we want to find out more about what makes that work for you guys, how your business works. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with that.
Are you looking to learn business strategies from some of the top experts in the world? or are you looking to earn income as a leading expert yourself? At Revisit, we empower leaders, innovators, and experts to create online learning products that get better over time. Interactive learning products on Revisit remain live connected to the creators, who can add or update the content instantly, offer direct access and feedback, exclusive communities, and even special discounts and offers. Our unique app-based solution means the products you buy or create will remain exclusive and valuable in the hands of paying customers only. So, start learning or start earning at Revisit.com. That's R-E-V-I-Z-Z-I-T.com.
And now, back to the Profitability Show.
Okay, and we're back with The Passing Zone, Owen Morrison, John Wee, and this is really interesting. Again, for me, I'm just fascinated. Now, I, as many of you know, I came from a magic background, so an equally difficult business.
Sure.
I did pretty good at it.
I would not say equally difficult. I would say juggling is more
far more difficult.
Still
yes.
More difficult.
Yes, that's right. Well, to the casual observer.
Okay, sure.
But no, you know, magic was a tough business as well. And again, we, the three of us, roughly the same age, although, yes, I know I'm your elder. But we come from the era when there wasn't, you know, social media and YouTube and all these ways to get people to notice you. So it was it was a considerably more challenging business model back then.
Yeah.
And now I don't know if you guys are you guys using social media and stuff? Are you guys partaking in what you've got now for... getting exposure?
We do a fair amount of things on Facebook, and we send out a lot of videos and things like that. So that's a way for people to find us.
Yeah, we have eBlast that we'll send out a little show and tell video blog.
So at the end of the show, and also in the show notes on the website for this show, we will make sure everybody knows how to get a hold of that, because I get your newsletters, and they're always really, really funny.
Cool.
And they have great little videos and stuff. So yeah, you would definitely want to sign up for those.
Super.
Just to get a good chuckle for the day.
A little show and tell.
Yeah. And then we'll put pressure on these guys to put them out more often. But that's another conversation for another time.
Yes.
So we talked about the defining moment. I would say we're all in agreement. The defining moment was suddenly you're on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Sure. Yeah.
That's like day and night change, right?
Huge.
Okay. So now, and then things started to happen. Was there ever a time when you guys kind of said, you know, maybe this juggling thing's not going to work out? Or like, was there a time of uncertainty? Maybe you guys didn't get along. Is there anything that you can talk about with the pressures of juggling stardom?
I mean, there were definitely some lean years.
Sure. Plenty of macaroni and cheese dinners.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we were passing the hat.
Both married at this time, correct?
No, not
we married yet.
Yeah. Okay. Early on, we were roommates for the first year that I moved out to California.
Okay.
And so we were sharing an apartment and working together and... you know, making most of our money passing the hat or working at Disneyland. And so, you know, there was a little question mark there. But I think one thing that is fairly interesting to me is I never really felt like it wasn't going to be an option. I always, from the word go, just went, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to make it work and it's going to be great.
Great.
And so even when it wasn't great, there was really, I mean, maybe it's just that I have no other skills or other options. I don't think we ever really sort of were going, well, should we do this or should we not do this? I mean,
we were
all in from the get-go.
I think part of that must be that, I mean, first of all, you guys had a really concrete passion in this.
Sure.
And then, as evidenced by how fast your career kind of took off, you knew you were really good. I mean, there's part of this
that's
like some people, they get into something and they go, you know, they have the self-doubt. I'm not sure, am I really the right person for this? Or is there somebody better? You knew there wasn't somebody. I'm like, okay, as a side note, I know you guys hold a lot of Guinness World Records. How many Guinness World Records do you guys hold?
We have four.
Mm-hmm.
We had five.
Yeah.
But we're down to four now.
Down to four?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want me to...
Things change.
I can talk to people. I can take that guy out. Okay. Will that move you back up again, or
we'll
does he
talk.
Still keep
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Does he keep it posthumously? Yeah, I think... Yeah, it probably does.
Maybe.
Oh,
yeah.
Well.
Bummer.
You have to practice some more. Well, anyway. So, I mean, Guinness World Record holders, right? Winners at international juggling conventions. I mean, you guys knew you guys had the skills. So that's got to give you some confidence to, like, move forward and say, look, it's tough now, but we're the guys.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have an audience telling you that, too. Right from the very beginning of our first shows, people are saying, well, how long have you guys been working together? And we said, well... you know, 20 minutes. That was our first show. And they go, oh, you guys seem... I mean, so we had a chemistry right from the very beginning.
And now, we'd seen some other people do it. So we thought, all right, this, you know... I mean, and I'm almost more surprised now that we were on The Tonight Show in 1990 than I was then.
Yeah.
I mean, at that time, that was the goal.
But
we were like, I'm going to move to California and I'm going to get on The Tonight Show.
You guys were so funny. I mean, the comedy chops. I mean, so you guys could put away the balls in the clubs, right, and you guys could entertain us for an hour just because there's a chemistry between you. You guys are really quick. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, like any of us, it looks like you're just coming up with it off the cuff, but you've actually scripted this. You've actually practiced it. Yeah. But you're writing it. You're not hiring writers. You guys are writing it. So you guys are really, really funny comedians on top of it. So how did that... So you guys meet each other. You're a couple of kids. Hey, we like to juggle. Oh, we also happen to be super gifted comedians. When did that, like, get figured out?
I think that happened very slowly and gradually.
It's still happening.
Yeah, when you look back at our earlier stuff, it was much more focused on hard juggling tricks.
Right.
But then realizing, oh, we have to entertain people also.
Uh-huh.
And as we've evolved over the years, we still pride ourselves in difficult and exciting juggling stunts. But it's much more now the focus on entertaining. And
yeah, what's the premise behind? What's the reason you're doing this juggling? Because people don't really care much about juggling. But they care about people on stage, our interaction, who we are on stage.
And you like to put people on stage and put them in dangerous predicaments. So there's that.
Yes. And then that leads to laughs. And I mean, if the audience is laughing, then you know, we suddenly care a lot less about how many things we're juggling.
Yeah. Well, so this is the thing that always... kind of strikes me when I think about the passing zone. And, you know, again, we're friends. We've known each other for a long time. But I look at this and I'm amazed. You guys have been together for 28 years, okay? Some people aren't even married for 28 years. I mean, they can't even make that last, right?
Yeah.
So you guys have been together, working together. Like you said, you started off even roommates. So for a period of time, it was 24/7. You know, you've both raised families. And, you know, you've done all of this side by side. So you must know a thing or two about how to have a sustainable partnership. Tell us a little bit about how does your partnership work? Like, what can you tell us about that?
It's nice that we both have different skills that we can rely on one another to take care of. John's very business focused, and I'm very prop oriented. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we can divide and conquer, which is great.
Yeah, we have some new idea, and it requires building something and figuring something out. And I get to turn to Owen and say, "Here, we need this built. Can you figure that out?" And he does.
Or there's some sort of meeting that's happening that maybe, hey, we might be able to get a showcase at this opportunity. This might be a good place for people to see us, and John can, you know, make that happen. So it's you know, and I think that's the thing. We focused equally on our chops as jugglers and performers, but also equally on the business aspect. Like, how can we be seen? How can we, you know, advance our
So clearly defined roles is one of the secrets here. Is that saying, look, don't be afraid to say, you can run with this ball and I'm going to take this thing. I think a lot of people, they're going to compete and conflict with each other over like, well, I want to make that call. I want to talk to, you know, whatever that is.
Yeah.
You guys have really defined what your job role is in the company.
That definitely helps, because then also you there's a sort of built-in assumption of you're not both working on the same thing at the same time and duplicating efforts or whatever too. You know, I know that I don't need to go home and try to build something because that's what Owen's doing.
Right. So the expectations are in place.
Yeah. Which isn't to say that I might ask John, well, what do you think about this idea versus that? Or he'll have some ideas. Hey, how about we try this?
Yeah.
And same with other business things. You know, we can talk about, well, is it really worth that effort, or how do we want to do this, or how do we want to market ourselves or spend our money on that?
Now, is there any, like, I mean, obviously in any partnership there's conflicts and stuff. What do you guys do to, like, mediate? Like, you guys are just, like, button heads on an issue, or does that even happen with you guys? You guys are so happy all the time. Every time I see you,
we have very deep issues, but we keep them inside.
Right. They're all tucked away.
Yeah. Someday,
tiny.
Though, when we explode, it's going to be ugly.
Amazing. I hope somebody's rolling video on that.
we don't have too many. I think we have the benefit of both of us are conflict avoiders.
Okay.
So when there is an issue and we're sort of aware that there's an issue, we just go our separate ways and let things kind of work themselves out or cool off. And we don't really argue and fight very much like some people who work close together do. And for us, that helps. That works. You know, I think if we were getting in fights and arguments every day or every week, you know, neither of us would find that appealing enough to stay in.
Right.
Yeah.
So. But there's certainly times where we have disagreements about what we're going to do about something or whether we think a joke is funny or not funny. And, you know, so there's always the figuring that out. I mean, usually we just come to an agreement. Even if one person has an idea that the other person maybe isn't crazy about, we might go, well,
let's
give it a try, see how it goes. And sometimes the person who was skeptical is right.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the person who had the idea is right.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. And sometimes it's
and
impossible
no
to know.
And there's no, I told you so.
As
little as possible.
A little of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, usually for us, the audience tells us or the business income tells us if the decisions we're making are the right ones.
Just like in any other business. So essentially, you've kind of crowdsourced what's going to happen here. You know, you're going to say, well, let's try it. You're both in agreement. We think this might work. It might need some tweaking, might need some massaging. Mm-hmm. Just, again, like any kind of product that you're bringing to market, anything else. You take it out. You put it in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. And they're going to let you know with no uncertainty whether that was a good idea or a bad idea.
Yeah. Right, right. And it can be amusing because the audience is always right. And you tell the joke and it gets nothing. And we can look at each other and go, wow.
Oh, we thought that was funny.
It's still funny.
Let me touch on that point. That's really interesting. So in your business, you guys have audience. And in other people's business, they have customers. Okay?
Yeah.
So there's a very interesting kind of theory that the customer is always right, but there's a lot of people now saying the customer isn't always right because we live in the age of the internet, right? Where people are just mean and nasty and whatever, and they're also duplicitous in their, they want to put down your company to prop up another company or whatever those are. So the customer isn't always right. So let me ask you this. So is the audience always right? Because we all know in show business, you can go out there and just use the exact same material that killed the night before, that got you the Carson show, and you go out and it's just like crickets. So how do you temper that? Like, is the audience always right? Or do you guys know how to weather that?
I think the audience is almost always right.
Okay.
Partly just because if they're not laughing, then it's not working. You know, we might still offstage say, well, I still think that's funny. You know, they're wrong. But if we are in a disagreement with the audience ultimately will win.
They kind of win.
And the joke will not be in the show anymore.
Right.
But which is a few exceptions.
There are some jokes that we've told for years because it's
just it's funny to you.
It's funny to us.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And as long as we can get away with it, then we just keep doing it.
That's awesome.
But yeah, you sort of have to, you know, especially in comedy, you don't do stuff that's not getting a laugh for very long before you say, okay, let's try something else.
And that's one thing that's a little different, I think, is we're in a position where, especially in the beginning, we were passing the hat. Mm-hmm. So we get audience response, whether an audience stays or sits and watches our show, and then direct feedback, how much money did we make after that 20-minute show?
Sales. Yeah.
And so you do that hundreds and hundreds of times. You learn what works and what doesn't work. You could try things. And you get monetary results right there.
It's fantastic.
You make a tweak and go, hey, this week we're making more money than we made last week, and it's because we added this thing.
Right. I hope everyone listening to this podcast is picking up on the resonance here. It's really interesting. What you guys are talking about is lead generation, right? So you start off, there's nobody.
Sure.
And you step up on the curb and you say, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a great show. Come on over. You know, and now you're attracting leads.
They're skeptical. They're looking at you
They're on your landing page now, and they're kind of going, hey, you know, is this something?
Go.
Yep. And then they wander off, or do they stick around to the end, to the final pitch where you're going to, you know, ask them for the big ask, right? Mm-hmm. So you pass out the hat. That is a complete parallel with what people are doing with online businesses, with offline businesses and stuff like that. So that's great. So you basically did the 10,000 hours of trial and error to know what's going to work, and that's how you can kind of land it.
Yeah, and ultimately the quality of what you have, what you're offering, is going to either work or not work.
I mean, it rises to the top. Yeah,
if you're offering something that's great, you know, even the skeptical people who are hanging around the edges will start to go, wait a minute, is really working, and then they come closer, and then they end up giving you money. And if what you're doing is not so good, then they'll stop for a minute, they'll take a look, and they'll go, I bet there's something better around the corner, and they keep moving.
Yeah.
And so you really, you know, as clever as you might be about marketing or as shiny as your costume might be, if you're offering something that isn't quality, it's not going to stick. Yep.
Excellent. All right. We're going to be back in a few minutes. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk, because we don't really understand how you actually get money from somebody into your, apart from passing the hat, which I don't think you do as much of anymore.
Not anymore.
So we're going to talk about that. How is your business monetized? And then we're going to talk about what your profitability is. What's that thing that you have figured out that says, you know, when we do this, we earn. And we'd like to find out what that is. So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with the Passing Zone.
Hey everyone, Nick Knight here. I hope you're enjoying the Profitability Show. I'm having a blast talking business with these amazing guests. Now, as you know, every business needs a profitability, and this show is no exception, because the profitability that I need is your ratings, your reviews, and your subscriptions. So if you can, pull out your phone, go to iTunes right now or in your podcast app and select the Profitability Show, give it a rating, give it a review, and subscribe to the show. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to do that, and I will return the favor with more great shows.
And we're back again with John Wee and Owen Morse of The Passing Zone. And this is the part of the show now where we're going to really dig into the business side of things. So first of all, nobody listening right now has any idea how you make a living, not just any living, but a good living as a juggler. So fill us in on how does that work?
Including our parents.
What are some of your what are some of your revenue streams? What are some of the opportunities you guys have found as jugglers?
Juggling and monetization are two terms that are seldom used together.
Very. It's almost an oxymoron, those things.
We have mostly right now we're in two different markets right now. We do a lot of corporate events, and then we do a lot of performing arts centers and theaters. And so that's pretty much almost all the money we earn is from showing up and doing a performance and
doing a live performance for any number of folks.
So sometimes this is for the general public, so it's more of like just comedy based, and then other times it's like you said, a corporate type of environment. So you're there now. I remember the last time I saw you guys, I think we were all at the National Speakers Association conference in Washington D.C.
Right,
and you guys were the hosts of the final big show. And at that time, I think I didn't realize this before, you guys are both Hall of Fame speakers. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Got the big award from the National Speakers Association, and that's been one of the things that's worked for us is we've taken the whole comedy and juggling idea, but then we discovered that there was this market for corporate events where if we do exactly what we're doing anyway for entertainment on stage, but then add to that messages about teamwork and about risk-taking and creativity and just doing the things that we do, but putting a business message on it, it's really resonated with people, and that's created a whole different business.
What
for
better
us.
Example right. is well, there of working as a team right. than throwing knives at each other?
Exactly. Yeah. And juggling itself is just a great analogy for what we're all doing. We're all trying to keep certain number of things
that's
in the
great.
Air and try to drop as few things as we can.
That's great. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. What a great metaphor.
And
that
as
is.
Two guys, you know, the amount of trust we have to have in each other, the amount of preparation we do behind the scenes, and then how we have to be on our game and performing together and playing off one another.
Right.
You know, people in the audience, we don't even have to say all that much about it, and they watch and they get it. They go, you know what? That's just like what I'm doing in my business, just with maybe more chainsaws and fire.
That's fantastic. And I would assume that these businesses, you know, they get keynote speakers, they get, you know, motivation experts and stuff all the time. But let's face it, it's the same dollars that they've got budgeted to get somebody who's going to motivate the team or inspire the leadership or whatever that is, and entertain us, because these things can be pretty dry, and if you're not connecting with the audience, they just wasted their money.
Exactly.
Because the people, you know, in the audience, the company employees or the leaders, they're just going to tune out. They're going to be checking their emails during the show.
Right. And one of the big goals of any meeting is just to create an event that people are excited about, that fires them up, that makes it, you know, they go home going, wow, we just had an incredible time in Chicago at our big conference.
Mm.
And one of the reasons they had an incredible time is because we were there. So
that's fantastic.
You know, they're maybe not taking notes exactly and going home with a ton of really applicable ideas based on us throwing chainsaws around.
Right.
But it really does resonate with them as far as giving them new ways to look at innovation and collaboration and execution, those kind of things.
Excellent.
And that's one nice thing about us being a team on stage. Rather than having one guy talking about teamwork, we got two guys actually performing
and
teamwork.
Proving it.
Exactly.
Right on stage.
Yeah.
So
they're seeing
fantastic.
It happen. They're even seeing setbacks. You know, we mess
when
up
drop.
And we have to cover for it.
Yeah.
And that relates to
and because I've seen your show a number of times, you actually bring people up from the audience and they become part of the team.
Yeah.
Like right then. It's like, look, if you want to be on this team, you got to trust me. You're right. Going to stand here, and I'm going to throw stuff right by your head. It'll be whizzing on both sides of your head. You're, yeah. You know,
we're so all going to do this together.
And then yeah. it
if,
works.
If we all do it right.
That's right. But if you, you know, jump around and, you know, whatever, you're going to get knocked in the head with a club. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's great. What a great. So, okay, now. You're getting these bookings. So on the business side of things, how does that work? Are you just is it through agents, or do you guys have to go out and beat down doors? Is it cold calling? How does that work?
Most of our business comes through agents or speakers bureaus. So one of the most important things that we do is keep relationships with those agents, and that's one of our biggest challenges is just to stay on top of their minds so that when their clients are calling them looking for ideas.
And how do you do that? How do you stay on their mind? Do you is it through social media, or are you guys every once in a while, do you guys have events just for them, and or how does that work?
On occasionally we will see them at various conferences, at like a National Speakers Association conference. We also call them and keep in touch, and or we also have a management company that is constantly in talk,
helping you with this.
Contact with those folks.
But yeah, we're always updating them on our latest materials and sending out e-blasts about what's new and what's going on, mm-hmm. and the show and tells that we send out. And yeah, just personal phone calls and get them on the line.
And that's does this kind of comprise the day-to-day business of your guys' operation, the Passing Zone Incorporated, I assume. Is that the day-to-day business of what you guys, or is it mostly like physical practicing and so what would you say is like the main course of business?
Yeah. I suppose it's about 50-50 between, yeah. You know, there are some days where we're practicing and working on new ideas and new things and rehearsing and mm-hmm. writing. But then there are other days where we're on the phone and we're sending out emails, or we're really generating some new material to send out and remind people of who we are. And ooh. That's constant. I mean, the one mm-hmm. thing that we've learned too is you can't just sit back and rely on the fact that they already know who you are and they'll call you.
Right.
Because they won't. They'll they forget won't. About you.
There's always a new person that's jumping up and down trying to get their attention.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah.
No matter how successful you that's are right. or how much you think that they're going to be thinking about you, they're not thinking about you if you're
good
not
advice.
Recently right. on their mind.
Yeah, that's we great. Used to send out postcards saying, oh, new mailing address. We'd get bookings from that just because they were reminded and you, oh those
it
was,
guys it wasn't even the new book it was
no,
just the same mailing just, address yeah. you just said it was new
like,
oh,
yeah.
change your address book
oh, right. that would have been easier we yeah. just kept moving every
yeah.
6 months that would have been the way to go
so this is the part of the show where I like to like kind of really so we talked about a lot of things and obviously we can pick and choose from the number of things you guys talked about the teamwork and how to work with a partner and you know, staying in contact with your customers and your booking agents or your, you know, different aspects of your business. But what would you say is your profitability? So, and the idea there is, what is that thing that you can lean on and you say, we need to do this, we need to do more of this, because this turns into dollars in the bank. What would you say to anybody in business listening right now that they could use that's a profitability? What advice would you give them?
Well, I think for us, a good place to start was, you know, we were juggling and performing and making people laugh for a long time. But then we discovered that if we turn this into a keynote speech instead of just a juggling show, then that opened up a whole new revenue stream for us, new clients,
bigger
new
paychecks,
bookings, bigger paychecks, right. all of that. When we started juggling, we had no goal of doing that. We didn't even know that market existed.
So we're really talking about thinking outside of the box. You're like, so sure. all jugglers are kind of in this box of saying, well, I'm going to go out and do my juggling show, and mm-hmm. where can I do that? I guess I could do that on the street, or I could do it on a theater if I can get the whatever. Yeah. And you guys said, what's the bigger picture? Where else can we perform? You
and
know?
For us, it was a really natural fit because we were a couple of clean-cut guys doing a show. You know, our comedy is clean, so it works in corporate events. You know, there are definitely acts who are more edgy or a little more out there where you think, okay, this might be great for a college audience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're maybe too squeaky clean for a college yeah. audience these days.
Oh, we're too old, too.
Well, I was just going to stay with the clean.
Okay.
But
okay.
Yeah. But yeah, there are certain markets that you're right for or that your product is right for. And we realized, hey, with a few tweaks here and there, mm-hmm. we're perfect for this corporate market. So that worked just great for us.
So yeah. great. So I think the takeaway we can have there then is, you know, whatever the business is you're in right now is to really look at your target audience, your target market, and think, am I hitting the full market? Is there somebody else out there that can benefit from my product that maybe I hadn't considered before, like as you did with, everybody's being entertained, but we could actually take this to the next level and go into businesses and educate and entertain at the same time. Obviously, we all know that's a higher pay grade. So I think as businessmen, we need to look at our business and say, am I really serving the right people or at least the full market?
Yes. Yeah, or could I make a tweak to this or that to suddenly open it up to a new market? Because now exactly. It has a different revenue stream because I made this change or that change. Because maybe exactly what you're doing now appeals to one segment, but if you add something or change something, it could open up a whole new market for you.
Fantastic. So what's next for you guys? What's on the horizon?
Well, we are going to be on America's Got Talent.
Ah, excellent.
We just did our audition. In fact, probably by the time anyone's listening to this, it will have aired already, and so everybody will
already know who you are. And
right,
yeah, we'll be huge.
Exactly. They won't believe you got this interview. How did you land with those jugglers?
Yeah, the most famous jugglers in the world.
Well, that's exciting. So, and that's filmed here in LA.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. And so you guys have already done. You got one in the can.
Is
what you're saying.
Yep.
Okay. And we don't know how that worked out yet.
We don't know.
Got one in the can.
Well, you don't know.
But we will know when we're having this conversation with actual listening audience.
Yes.
Everybody will be.
So we should probably create two things. One where we say, it's too bad.
It was a shame.
It went so terrible.
Well, we could back up. We could just say. I could just say. So what's next? What's on the horizon? And you guys could not mention that, and then I can just edit it accordingly.
Yeah. Or we could say we totally tanked. America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Then we could cut to the. Oh my gosh, we did great. Yeah, America's Got Talent. So one of those will be right.
All right, good. Well, I think we have them both covered now, that's good. And where can, so surely there must be a way for people to find out how they can get the Passing Zone at their corporate event or at their theater or in their, local neighborhood bar. I don't know. How do they get in touch with you guys to hang out or to hire you for stuff? Where would we find?
You can find us at passingzone.com.
Passing Zone, not the Passing
Zone. The Passing Zone. Okay.
So PassingZone.com.
PassingZone.com.
And that'll connect you to our website and videos and our mailing list. And you can sign up for the fan club and do all those things and show and tell.
Yes.
Get those.
Definitely want to get the show and tells going. And I think you guys also have a DVD, which is kind of a full show, isn't it?
Yeah.
And juggling, teaching juggling?
Teaching juggling,
it's awesome.
DVD has lots of fun extras on it as well.
All right, so you're going to pick up one of those. Yeah. These guys are a lot of fun. If you haven't seen their show, do some YouTube searching. Go buy their DVD. It's been great having you guys on the show.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Nick.
And if you get a chance to check out our YouTube channel, we're going to actually go and play around with some equipment here, and could be hazardous to my health, so you might want to see that.
Yeah, we're here at the Passing Zone Clubhouse with nothing but fun things around.
Yes. Yeah, I'm looking at a board full of knives, and there's something, they kind of have an outline of a body, which I think fits me. So, again, thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it, and we will be back in touch with you guys in a short while to find out what happened with America's Got Talent.
Hey, thank you. It's awesome. Our pleasure, Nick.
Cool.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to learn more profit abilities, go to profitabilityshow.com for episodes, show notes, and more. And be sure to click the subscribe button to get the latest episodes delivered straight to your favorite device.